place. Please be seated. As you're seated, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. If you don't have your Bible, it is printed in the worship folder. It is on the screen behind me. If you don't own a Bible, I encourage you to pick one up. We have them there in the back on the sideboard. Take it. It's yours. Use it to explore this glory of a God who would love you enough to send His Son to die for you. If you do have a Bible, leave those for ones who don't and bring it. We continue our journey through Acts. We've been, for the last few weeks, we've been camped out in those first seven verses of Acts chapter 6 as we've kind of sprung out from there. But we're back in Acts now because I had made the mistake before. We had already gone on from those seven verses and looked at chapter 6, the rest of 6 and 7. So we're back to Acts chapter 8. But as we come back to Acts chapter 8, we need to go back to Acts chapter 1. For there in chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus gave to His church its mission. The reason why He was building this church. He told them there that you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We often see this, think of this as concentric circles, like a target. There in the center, that small circle in the middle is Jerusalem. And then the slightly larger one around it is Judea, and then a slightly larger one is Samaria. And then the honking great big circle that encompasses everything else is the end of the earth. For five chapters, we focused in on that center circle and the apostles there in Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 6, it moved beyond the apostles, but it stayed in that circle in Jerusalem. As we looked at those magnificent seven, those seven men chosen, called to serve the church. We saw as it focused in on them in the rest of chapter 6 and 7 in Stephen's martyrdom, in his ministry there in Jerusalem and then his death. And that's where we pick it up now. And now finally in Acts chapter 8, we move beyond that first circle of Jerusalem. And we move our way on out. We'll see, this isn't by the choice of the church. It's not by their decision. They didn't get together. The apostles didn't have a presbytery meeting like we were at yesterday, where we said, well, all right, let's expand this. Let's incorporate some new territory. Let's conquer somewhere else. Let's bring more into this. It didn't happen that way at all. It happened only by the work of God. And this is important for us to see, to move beyond that center circle of Jerusalem. Because by their reckoning, we live in that outermost circle. We are the end of the earth. And so we need to look at Acts chapter 8 and begin to see the church, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, move out of Jerusalem in the center and begin to move its way on to where we encounter it, here at the end of the earth. So turn with me to Acts chapter 8. We're going to read beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 8. Hear now the word of God. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we hear your word proclaimed this morning. We hear it read, but we hear it not just with the ears on our head. We cry out to hear it with the ears of our hearts, of our lives. These words aren't here to entertain us. They aren't here simply to teach us history. They are here that we may encounter you. And so, Lord, as we come to your word, as we hear it proclaimed, may we encounter you, knowing that when we encounter you, we will be changed. We do not ask to control that, Father. But we humbly come now in the name of Jesus Christ, asking you to work your wonders within us through this mysterious way of the story of the church in Acts. We ask this, that you may be glorified in us in this world for all eternity. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a good son. I know this because I call my mother. And that, after all, is the definition of a good son, isn't it? Now, even as I let you in on that, I have to also confess that I'm a lousy son because I don't call her as often as I should or even as I intend to. It's supposed to be weekly in my mind, but it's not always that way. I admit it. Sometimes things just come up, and the time when I normally do it, Mondays, my day off, that's the day to check in. Used to be Sundays, but I learned that all of my siblings call my mom on Sunday, and so try to spread it out a little bit. I'm a good son. Remember that? Don't forget it. But things come up. Sometimes I'm busy. Sometimes I just get involved in something, and even though I should stop and call her, I don't. Sometimes I admit I just forget. It's part of life. And sometimes it just doesn't really seem like there's anything to say. Oh, life's gone on all week long, but it's just been life as normal. I got up, I went to work, I talked to some of you, I sent emails, I wrote a sermon, I planned the worship service, I went to the dojo and went to work there, and life. Normal life. And what do you say about that? It's not very exciting. Hi, Mom. Yeah, I got up on Tuesday and went to the church and read commentaries. Not real exciting. But this is the reality of life. This is what occupies most of my time. You and Sunday. This is what dominates my week, and it's not that exciting most of the time. But it is what characterizes life. Here in these opening verses of Acts chapter 8, Luke gives us a picture of normal life for the early church. It wasn't a life of coming into the office, sitting there, making phone calls, writing emails. It wasn't a life of reading commentaries and writing the sermon for Sunday, planning the worship service and getting the music to the musicians and, you know, all of those things that are my normal life. But we get a picture of normal life here. And the essence of that normal life is that mission that we mentioned. The reason that Jesus said, I'm building this church to be my witnesses. Really, that's the theme verse for all of Acts. The book of Acts is the story of the witnesses of Jesus Christ as they witnessed to him, as they proclaimed him, as they told about him to everyone around. It's the story of who is witnessing, where they're witnessing, how they're how they're witnessing. Now, all of those change. It started with the apostles, specifically with Peter, and then Peter and John, and then it went to all of the apostles, and then it went to the Magnificent Seven and Stephen, and we're going to see more of that as Philip makes a reappearance here, another one of those seven. It started in the temple, and then it went out to all of Jerusalem. And here in these verses, we see it go out of Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria. And as we go on, by the end of Acts, Paul's in Rome. All of that changes, but the central core of their life as the church doesn't. Just like my week every week changes who I talk to, you know, what emails I'm sending, what books I read. But my normal life doesn't. The core, life as normal for the early church was this mission to be his witnesses. But this wasn't just life as normal for the early church. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 wasn't just speaking to the apostles, those 11 at that point were going to be his witnesses. He's speaking to the church. This is our life as normal, to be his witnesses. And what we see here is this life lived as normal. Life lived as witnesses to Jesus Christ in every circumstance, by everybody, for every joy. It's a life lived as his witnesses in every circumstance. For that's the piece that grabs us first about these verses. That these verses are about life as normal in the church, but they're not about normal circumstances. Their lives changed enormously here in these verses. Their circumstances underwent a massive change. In the chapter and a half before this, that long chapter 7, it's all about the martyrdom of Stephen, about Stephen's death at the hands of the Jews, including this one Saul, there in verse 1. And Saul approved his execution. For the first time, somebody in the church died for being a witness to Jesus Christ. And what change did that bring? Verse 1 continues. There arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. A great persecution. It's described a little more for us in verse 3 there, where we're told Saul was ravaging the church. Ravaging the church. That word ravaging, it's the same word that they would use to speak of a wild animal, a wild beast rending a carcass. It's the same word used of an army that had besieged a city, storming into it, and what they would do to the city when they got into it. Saul was ravaging the church. And it's not just the leaders now. We're out from the apostles. We're out even from that magnificent seven, from Stephen. You know, we're told there, you know, entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. It's now the ordinary men and women of the church. And what happens? What's the result of this? Verse 4. They're scattered. Well, verse 1. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They scattered. They ran. They're refugees now. This is really different from being able to sit at home comfortably as they had been, going to the temple. Yeah, there had been some problems, but that had all been on the leaders. Their life had continued. And now it's uprooted. And yet, we said life as normal for the church is to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. That normal life continued, even in the midst of all of the scattering, all of the upheaval, all of the uprooting. Now, as one scholar said, they went out not as refugees, but as missionaries. Look at it. Verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They were still his witnesses. Another scholar, Daryl Bach, a New Testament scholar, said, no matter where members of the new community are, mission follows. No matter where members of the new community, of the church, are, mission follows. Because that's the normal life of the church, no matter what is going on around us. The circumstances of life don't give us a pass on being the church. Everyone here has experienced difficult times in life. We have experienced times when we have been scattered personally. Maybe it was that diagnosis of cancer or Alzheimer's. Or the accident. Maybe it was, you know, that death of a parent or a child or a spouse. Maybe it was that time of financial struggles when we couldn't pay our bills, didn't know how we were going to pay the rent, the mortgage, the car payment, the car insurance, food for the table. Every one of us here has experienced some difficult circumstance where life wasn't normal. And I don't want to minimize those. I don't want to minimize their impact on life, but we can't use them as an excuse to not live our normal life as the church, to not be his witnesses. Few of us here have gone through what they went through. Being run out from our homes, scattered into a new place where we ran to so that we could simply live. Not make a living, but live in a new community. Even in a community of outcasts and enemies like Samaria. And yet, those who were scattered, went about preaching the word. We have to be his witnesses. We might be scattered. We might have a new job, a new home. You know, we might have to build new relationships. We might have to figure out a new way of living life. But we can't use that as an excuse to stop being the church. We still must preach the word. We must witness to Jesus Christ. We must tell of his death, his life, our life. We might be scarred and scared, but we have to proclaim him. We must tell of his death as our death, his resurrection as our hope, his love as our joy. This must be the soundtrack of our lives. Not just the triumphant fanfare, you know, in the times of celebration and victory. Not even that quiet theme that just plays, you know, plays softly behind those, you know, the normal scenes in between the climaxes. It has to be the theme that underlies all of our life, including the dark and difficult, the scary scenes of life. It has to be that theme that's as recognizable to those who know us as the opening bars of the Star Wars theme. Come on, half of you are humming it to yourself right now. Now, I mean, think Star Wars, Jaws. You can't hear those notes without thinking of a shark. Chariots of Fire, perhaps. And the image of them running down the beach. Instantly recognizable to so many. That's what Jesus Christ needs to be in our life. Our theme, the soundtrack that plays through all of it. Does your normal life, no matter what the circumstances, does your life play the theme of Jesus Christ loudly, clearly, in every circumstance? Does your life witness to Him, proclaim Him by what you say, what you do, how you live? Because that should be your normal life. You, the church of Jesus Christ. But it's not just a normal life in every circumstance. It's a normal life by everybody. That's what we see. You know, here in those verses in 5, 6, and 7, you know, we're reintroduced to Philip, one of those magnificent seven. He's proclaiming the word. He's witnessing to Jesus Christ in word and deed. But notice who is preaching the word before that. The ones of whom Philip is put before us as nothing but an example. Not as the leader, the one who's doing it, but as an example of what is happening. Verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Who were those who were scattered? Verse 1 tells us, they were all scattered except the apostles. This isn't the apostles. This isn't the leaders of the church, those with the special task and calling to be witnesses, to preach. It's everybody. It is the church as a whole. Those who were scattered, the ordinary and everyday members of the church, going about their ordinary and everyday lives. This is the story of the church, not just here in these verses, not just in the book of Acts. The famous Yale historian of the mid-20th century, Kenneth Scott La Tourette, writing about this time, wrote, "The chief agents in the expansion of Christianity appear not to have been those who made it a profession, but men and women who carried on their livelihood in some purely secular manner and spoke of their faith to those they met in this natural fashion." It wasn't the trained professionals. It's not the apostles didn't get together and say, well, here's our evangelism plan for the church. Now let's implement it. Now, it's what went on was the normal life of the church. It was described by one person as beautiful, untrained, and unforced. The natural acts of normal life in which regular people preached the word. Preached the word. You know, that's what we're told there in verse 4, but I'm afraid, I feel that's an unfortunate translation. It's accurate, but it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because the word that's used there isn't the technical word for what I'm doing right now. He's not talking about that these went around preaching sermons. That word is used. It's used in the next verse of Philip, translated here in the ESV as proclaimed. Philip went around preaching sermons. But the ordinary and everyday people went around. The word that's there is the word evangelizing, literally. And what that means is, literally, sharing the good news, spreading the good news. It describes, it's the word that would have been used to describe sharing about the birth of a child or a grandchild. You're evangelizing. You're telling the good news when you pull out your wallet with all of the pictures. That's what you're doing. I guess in that day it would be pulling out the papyrus with all of the drawings. I don't know how they did it, but I'm sure they did it. It's the word that would have been used for going around telling people that you'd won the lottery. That kind of thing. You know, that you have news that's so exciting that you can't help but talk about it. That's the word that's used. The church at large didn't preach Jesus Christ. They gossiped the good news. They stood on the street corners, in the market as they went about their business for the day. As they, they didn't, but as they played chess, they talked and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. They told the good news of His death, His resurrection. It bubbled out of them as they went through daily life. This is the normal life of the church of Jesus Christ. Not a program, a plan, or a ministry of evangelism where professionals or even just specially trained and gifted amateurs preach Jesus. It's every member of the church. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ, who has experienced the love of God in Him, going through life, unable to help but share the good news. Unable to help but have it come out in their normal, regular routines of life, whatever those might be. If you're sitting here today and you know Jesus Christ, then this is your normal, we're told here. This is my normal. Gossiping about Jesus Christ in my daily life, in my routine. Not forcing Jesus into every conversation. Oh, did you see the game yesterday? Tom Brady was terrific, but not quite as good as Jesus, because after all, Jesus... No! That's not what we're talking about. It's Jesus oozing out of you in word, in deed, as you go through life. This normal life of the church is a life lived as witnesses to Jesus Christ in every circumstance, by everybody, for every joy. For this is what oozes out of us. Notice how this ends here, verse 8. So there was much joy in that city. There was joy in Samaria because amazing things were happening. This great show had come to the city. Philip was there. He was casting out demons, and they were screaming out as they left, and he was making the paralyzed and the lame walk. And isn't that glorious? And wouldn't everybody rejoice in that? But the joy went beyond the show. Went beyond those physical benefits. It wasn't just a joy in the good news of health and wealth. Wasn't just the joy of the good news of earthly healing and blessing and comfort and safety and all the things we long for. Look at what we're told they were doing, verse 6. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. They paid attention. The joy came from the good news. It's the joy of Jesus Christ. His life that fulfilled the law. The death that paid the price for our failure to fulfill the law. His resurrection that displays His victory over death that guarantees our life eternal with God. It's the taste of that joy that is ours only in Christ, that they experienced in the healings, in the exorcisms. But more than that, that they tasted as they paid attention to the good news that is ours in faith. That we will one day experience in all of its fullness when we sit down at the wedding supper of the Lamb and we know all of the benefits in full. This is the joy of the normal life of the church. The joy that is ours, the fullness of joy in Jesus Christ. Such joy that it was the motivation for Jesus Himself enduring the cross. Hebrews 12 tells us this, that it was for the joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross, despising its shame. It's that joy that is ours. The joy of life with God in His presence for all eternity as His beloved children. The joy. This joy is ours in Christ, a joy that we cannot contain, that bubbles and oozes out of us, that people see and want for themselves, that we share and invite others into as we gossip the good news of Jesus Christ. This really is the normal life of the church. It's what we see here in these verses in Acts. It's what we're going to see throughout the book of Acts. It's what we've already heard Kenneth Scott LaTourette, the Yale historian, see not just in Acts, but in the history of the early church. But we don't even have to go that far to see it. A more recent example. China, 1949. The Communist Party finally won the Chinese Civil War that had started way back in the 30s with the invasion of the Japanese. They won. China became communist. One of the first actions that happened in 1949 was they expelled all missionaries. All the missionaries were kicked out. The estimates are at that point that there were 4 million Chinese Christians. In 2012, a gentleman, a member of the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, the man that the Pew Forum sees as the Chinese government's leading authority on unregistered churches in the country, he gave this quote when he was asked how many Christians were in China. He said, "It is hard to say precisely how many Christians there are in China. I reckon there might be 50 million. 4 million in 1949, when all the professionals are kicked out, left on their own, the ordinary and everyday members of the church. 60 years later, the leading expert by the Chinese government on those who aren't supposed to be there, so not one who's going to inflate numbers, reckons there might be 50 million of them now." That's over a 12-fold increase through the normal life of the church. The church being witnesses to Jesus Christ in every circumstance, by everybody there, for every joy in Christ. This is our normal life. As the church that God built, to be His witnesses witnesses to Jesus Christ in every circumstance. Even as we're scattered, as we're attacked, as our lives don't go the way we want them to. By everybody, every one of us. Every single one of us. This isn't my job. This isn't the elder's job or even the deacons that we heard about last week. This is every one of us who knows the love of God in Jesus Christ. And it's this normal life for every joy that we ooze the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, of His love for us, His grace poured out upon us. This is the normal life of the church, gossiping the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come this morning reminded of the good news, of the joy that is ours in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. We come being reminded of what normal life ought to be. The thing that is so normal that we don't even think it worth talking about. Father, as we hear this, we're challenged. Challenged because we have to confess, I have to confess, this probably isn't my normal life. That I'm caught up in my earthly tasks, in my comfort, my safety, my joy, more than in Jesus Christ. Father, take us. Empower us by Your Spirit to be the church that You are building here in Central Maine, in Lewiston, Auburn, that we may have this normal life, witnesses to Jesus Christ at all times, in every way, every one of us, for the joy that is ours in Him. Father, we ask this, knowing our faults and failures and weakness, but we ask it knowing Your grace that is sufficient, that in our weakness, Your strength shines forth. So we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ and Him alone.